This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a Joycast from GLBTIQ community radio station, Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9 presents Absolutely Everybody, sponsored by and presented by Enecto, the People Network. Absolutely Everybody, only on Joy 94.9.
Welcome to Absolutely Everybody. I'm Julia, and we've got another thought-provoking show for you today. You're listening to Joy 94.9. It's 7 minutes past 12, and great to have you here with us today on Absolutely Everybody. Thanks for all your messages of support and emails on our first show last week. There was a very big few at the end of our show, and we're excited to be here. Please keep those messages and stories coming through by SMS on air on 0427 JOY 949 or email on air at joy.org.au. You can also join the conversation by going to the Enecto website, enecto.org.au/absolutely everybody. Some interesting discussions coming up first. But first, Amy and Jody, how was Midsummer Carnival?
It was fantastic, Julia. We had a stall and we caught up with so many great people, young and old, and it was a great day.
Excellent. And Jody, you're on multitasking today. I know you controlled the social media on Sunday, but where were you?
Well, it's a bit of a long story, but first I have to say, send lots of love out to Trevor, who is sick today on the second show. Can you believe he's lost his voice, Julia?
Oh, no.
I know. And, you know, for somebody that we need to do radio, that's a bit of a problem. So lots of love to you, Trevor, and we hope Cody's making you lots of cups of tea. Now, to Midsummer, look, it is a fantastic community event and great example of celebrating what people have in common. But unfortunately, it was my birthday. Well, not unfortunately, it was my birthday last year, and I got tickets to another wonderful community event called So French, So Chic. And I was there, and look, I have to say, it was absolutely fantastic. It had a multicultural twist and all of that. So, you know, it was a very diverse event, and it had an amazing rap artist called Fei Fei. So it was great, but I did miss not coming to Midsummer. I was really disappointed, but I did do some Facebooking and tweeting, which was great. So, but what about you? You had a ball, didn't you?
Oh, look, it was our first Midsummer, and I have to say, I remember attending the first one in Alexander Gardens in 1996. Ooh. And boy, has it grown heaps. And the diversity has absolutely expanded. Like, there's so many different groups that are represented now at Midsummer. I mean, there was over, I think, 100 storeholders.
That's fantastic, isn't it?
Look, it was quite mind-blowing. Mm. And the community atmosphere was fabulous. It was absolutely electric.
I really love Midsummer, and so I was very devastated that I couldn't be there.
I know. And look, I've got to say, little plug, we took our grandson, and he just thought it was amazing. He had a very great day hanging out with everybody. It was great.
And he made the cutest little tiger, I must say.
Oh, he did make a very cute tiger. It was pretty funny. We mentioned last week that we were going to have Andrew Simpson from Enecto in to talk about the aged care reforms. Now, Andrew will be coming in over the next few weeks, but today we're excited to have Paralympian Carol Cook in the studio to chat with us about her journey to sporting success. And man, she's had a really amazing sporting success. And when it comes to resilience, this woman has it with bells on. So don't forget to SMS us on air on 0427 JOY 949 or email us on onair@joy.org.au. And also follow us on social media, Absolutely Everybody. But first, here's Hands Up by September. It's 11 minutes past 12, and you're listening to Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
Welcome back to Absolutely Everybody. The time is 16 minutes past 12. Sunday was a glorious day, and boy, was it full of every colour of the rainbow. And lots of people hit Alexander Gardens in the city for the 26th Midsummer Carnival 2014. Over 100,000 people were there. It was absolutely amazing. And for the first time, our Anecto group joined Midsummer with the Absolutely Everybody team store, which was a real buzz. We had a ball, didn't we, Amy?
We did indeed. We got to see lots of great people and look at their fabulous dogs and see a bit of the dog show and get a free massage. See all these new stalls that I haven't seen before. I've been to Midsummer probably 8 of the last 10 years, perhaps, and there was a lot of new stalls this year, which is good to see. A lot more people getting involved and getting out there, and had a great day, except my elbow would disagree because I got severely sunburned on my left elbow, so that was a bit unfortunate, but lucky the rest of me didn't turn into a lobster.
Yeah, I've got to say, there was a huge turnout of different organisations that are really connecting more with the GLBTI community now. And I have to say, that was really impressive and really great that we actually got to be there as well. So I've got to say thank you, Anecto, for joining in Midsummer. It was fantastic. We've also got some great photos on our Facebook page, so please check them out. We thought it was also a great opportunity to get amongst the punters and find out what their experiences of the community was and why events like Midsummer are really important to the community. So when we asked them those questions, it wasn't just the LGBTI community. It was like, what about the big community, the bigger picture? And to kick us off, we spoke to Clem Newton-Brown, who's the state Liberal member for Paran.
Midsummer has morphed into a really big community festival. It's not just for the GLBTI community. It's as you look around, there's families around as well, and it really is just a great day. So I see it as a very colourful Moomba, and you know, today is a really significant day because in the first time of its in the history of Midsummer, we've got the Premier of the state turning up, and he'll be making an announcement about expunging gay sex convictions. So yeah, a historic day.
It's exceptionally important because today there's 100,000 people in the centre of Melbourne. It provides that very visual presence that we are a large community. And you only have to look as you walk around today, the diversity of our community. And, you know, for one or two days of the year, that community comes together and it actually is as one. And I think that's really important that events like Midsummer continue where our community can come together.
Hi, I'm Megan. I'm from Berry Street. I think Midsummer is important to Melbourne and to the community because it brings Melbourne together. It shows the diversity. We've got so many people down here from all parts of Melbourne. It's a great day, and we've got families and kids, and
Well, it lets everybody know where we are and who we are, and you see so many different people here, and it's a wonderful way to get together. And you actually meet a lot of your friends you haven't seen for probably from one Midsummer to the other.
I'm Dale from Headspace. We're here at Midsummer today. We think it's obviously a really important event because it's a way for the community to come together. And being inclusive and feeling that you are actually a part of a community is actually really good for your mental health. And that's what Headspace is about. We're about supporting young people aged 12 to 25 on their mental health. And we have centres across the country to help them with that.
It's a really great day and we'll certainly look forward to next year's. Just a reminder, there's a whole lot of events happening over the coming weeks with Midsummer along with Pride March. And for our friends in Sydney, lucky things, Mardi Gras is coming up with a parade on Saturday, March the 1st. So I've been to a couple of Mardi Gras and I have to say it'd be really nice to be on the bucket list would be to be in the parade. So we may have to practice our marching skills, girls. Well and truly. Up next, Carol Cook joins me in the studio. So stick around on Joy 94.9. It's 20 minutes past 12.
Absolutely everybody. Absolutely everybody on Joy 94.9.
You're with Julia and you're listening to Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9. The time is 26 minutes past 12. The Sochi Winter Olympics, and I got to say, the Olympics is my favourite time of the year, bit of a fan. And they're about to start, and with the success of the Paralympics in London, there's even more focus and a much more positive and supported attitude on this event and the elite athletes. So the road can be hard for any athlete at the best of times, but determination is definitely a prerequisite to follow this dream. So a person who has really put herself out there to be included in her sport of choice is Carol Cook. Welcome, Carol.
Thanks, Julia. It's good to be here.
Fantastic. Now, Carol, I've personally known you for about 9 years, and your sporting prowess and determination has always impressed me. So let's explore the journey and let's look at what it takes to be an elite athlete. So, can you take us back a bit to your younger days, and were you always heavily into sport?
I was, and I think it was the age of 10, I loved gymnastics. And a lot of people don't know that, but I thought the next, you know, I was going to be the next Nadia Comaneci.
Fantastic.
I went with a girlfriend to the Winstonettes in Toronto, Canada, and to try out, and I was actually told I was too fat. That was my first foray into body image.
Oh, wow.
And so it was devastating. I wasn't going to be part of the Winstonettes. Unfortunately, my friend Sharon made it. So I was really down about that. And so I started swimming. And swimming just became a passion, became my life. And, you know, I got to the point where at the age of 15, I was in the water 5 hours a day, you know, doing dry land stuff, fitting school in around it, and became very, very good at time management.
Oh, I can imagine. And I think that's the biggest thing with any elite athlete's journey is your time management. You know, how do you balance your life, your work, your sporting, training, etc. So can you remember when you decided that you wanted to represent your country at the Olympics?
Yeah, I was probably about 15. I'd made nationals or junior nationals for the first time. And I thought, wow, you know, watching, I think it was the 1976 Olympics, which were in Montreal, I think that really made it hit home. And I thought, yeah, I want to be there. Mind you, I think I wanted to be there when I was 10 and I was doing gymnastics, you know. But it was always a goal, and it was always, I can do this. That's where it started.
Fantastic. So as your career sort of went on, and, you know, as we know, it's like training takes an awful long time. And, you know, with athletes, they'll peak at certain ages. And it's like, you know, have you timed it right? You know, how do you know when to really go for it? And did you know that with the Olympics coming up, when did you know that you really had to push hard?
Look, I think it was drummed into me from like a young age as a kid. But, you know, I'm a bit pigheaded and stubborn, and I'm a bit different than most people, because back then I was 15. And of course, the 1980 Olympics, I would have been 18. And, you know, so back then, 18 as a swimmer, if you didn't make it by then, you were washed up. It's a bit different now with the women who are, we've realized that women get stronger within their 20s. And even after they give birth, they get even stronger. So, you know, my journey to the Paralympics has been a long, long road. But I don't believe that age, you know, has anything to do with it. It's just how determined, motivated, not so much motivated, but how committed you can be.
It's actually an interesting comment about how women get stronger with age. There was some research done a while ago that quite often women, when they hit menopause, become really good at long distance events.
Oh, well, hey, there you are. I'm there. So that must be why I'm doing so well.
So, Carol, what happened in 1980 and how did that impact on you?
Oh, look, being Canadian, we tend to follow what the Americans do. And of course, due to the Cold War, and it was the invasion by Russia of Afghanistan, and the Americans decided that they were going to boycott the Moscow Olympics. And of course, most of the Western world followed them. Other than Australia actually gave their athletes the choice of whether to go or not. Quite a few went, some didn't. So we had no choice in the matter. 1980, Canada was not going to send a team to the Moscow Olympics, and that was it. So it was over.
That would have been incredibly devastating. Did they give you guys support to actually get through that? Because I would imagine emotionally, you know, leading up to that, you're pushing so hard, and for that to all of a sudden be taken away, that
no,
would have been really
was,
hard.
There was nothing. It was a decision that was made. Whether I would have made the team, you know, we don't know, because we hadn't had the team picked. And it was just one of those things where you, you know, all the dreams that you've worked for, like obviously for me, for 8 years of swimming, and for my parents, my mom, getting up in the morning and having me at the pool by 5:30 and then getting me back to school and then back to training after school. And so, yeah, it was a bit devastating. And, you know, like I said, at 18 back then, if you hadn't gone and made it, then it was over. So it was like, well, what do I do now? I just get on with my life. And yeah, I'd graduated from high school and I just, you know, continued on and got a full-time job, but I kept swimming, you know, I kept swimming and dabbled a bit in triathlons and just tried to do something else, but sport was always there.
And I got to say thank you for mentioning the unsung heroes of any elite athlete's journey, the mums, the dads, the carers that put in so many hours to support their kids and teenagers through what can be an amazing career.
Oh, definitely. I wouldn't have been able to do half the things I did without my parents.
So, unfortunately, we have a situation now, Carol, where the GLBTI community in Russia, the treatment has been less than favourable, along with the political climate over there. And do you have any thoughts on that from your own experience, especially what you went through in 1980?
Look, I think if it was, you know, if I was going to the Winter Olympics and I was told by my country, well, it's up to you whether you want to go, I would definitely be going. I mean, that's, you know, that's something that you work for and you want to get done. It's the focus of your life. You know, the political climate, you know, they've had a couple bombings in the south of the country. Russia's a big country. Those things can happen anywhere.
Yeah,
and
that's true.
You can be rest assured that the security will be so tight. I mean, I think back to London and the security just to get into the village. I mean, it was just unbelievable. And I'm sure that the Russians will be doing that. As for the other problems, I think that some of the athletes have said that they all want to walk into the stadium holding hands. And I think that is a fabulous idea.
Oh, that's great.
You know, girls and girls holding hands, boys and boys. And I think that is, that would make the biggest statement that you could possibly make.
So now, if training for swimming wasn't hard enough, those thousands of hours churning up and down a pool, you switched sports.
I did, thanks to the Paralympic Committee, who targeted me to take up rowing, where I met you.
Absolutely. On the water, churning up thousands of hours on the Yarra.
And it was weird being on top of the water, not in the water. Mind you, I was in the water learning a few times, I must say.
Yeah, and I've fallen into the Yarra a few times too. It's nothing like becoming one with the Yarra. Man, not
it's
a good experience.
Nothing like a chlorinated pool, that's for sure.
That's great. Look, Carol, thank you. And we will get, we will come back to you in a minute. And you're listening on Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
Joy 94.9.
And that was the Divinals, one of my most favourite bands, with Pleasure and Pain. You're with Julia and you're listening to Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9. And the time is 22 minutes to one. We've been speaking to Paralympian Carol Cook. Welcome back, Carol.
Thanks, Julia.
So, Carol, the mere fact that you've been to a world championships is brilliant enough, and not to mention your career, but you've set your goals to another event.
I did. At the end of 2010, Rowing Australia decided that they weren't interested in our crew, our para rowing crew, that they were going to focus more on the more disabled crews. So it's like, again, here we go. You know, we missed going to Beijing by 0.8 of a second. So that was my second foray into Paralympics, Olympics, whatever, you know, you want to call them. And I missed out again. And I thought, well, that's it. I can't do this anymore. And when they dropped our crew, I thought, here we've had, you know, 2 years of the carrot dangled in front of us, and now we're not going, because we figured we'd be going to London. So one of the girls I rode with, she's from Sydney, and she started cycling. And at the time, I was riding a trike back and forth to rowing training, and she said, oh, Carol, they've got a trike category at the Paralympics. And I went, maybe I could cycle. And so I just kind of switched sports. I mean, I was already riding just to, you know, get a bit of cross training. Had no idea what I was doing, of course. And my first race was the Australian Para Nationals. Paracycling Nationals up in Caloundra in 2011. And I just went up for the heck of doing it. And I just, rode. I put my head down and went, and I had one competitor because there's not many trike riders in Australia, and he'd been riding for about 4 years, and I beat him.
That's fantastic.
And I didn't know anything about the sport per se, but the head coach came up to me and he said, "Oh my God, where did you come from?" And I said, "Melbourne." And he said, "No, I mean in the cycling world." I said, "Well, I didn't, you know, I've just come to have fun." And he says, "Well, you've just smashed the qualifying speed for the national team." And I said, "What was that?" Like, I literally knew nothing. He said, "Oh," he just kind of frowned and he says, "Oh, I'll have to talk to your coach." I said, "Well, keep talking, because I am my coach. I've got a rowing coach, but I don't think he knows much about cycling." So, and it started there.
So can you tell us what it was like? And you brought your medal in today. And look, I got to say, when I saw you win, I was in tears. And I got to say, I've never seen an Olympic medal. And that thing is heavy.
Yes. Everybody kept saying, "Oh my God, it's heavy." And, you know, the next person went, "Oh yeah, it is heavy." Like, what? Didn't you believe that first person? So I decided to weigh it. And it was just 0.1/100 of under half a kilo. So,
and the really beautiful thing about it is it's very textualized and also has Braille written on it.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of athletes who are vision impaired at the Paralympics. You know, every sport has the vision impaired category, basically. Oh, mind you, other than archery, things like that, you wouldn't have vision impaired. But yeah, so it makes it, you know, so much easier for them to actually know what they're holding if they read Braille.
Yeah, and can you, oh, look, a few thoughts. What did it feel like standing on that podium?
Well, you take every emotion that you can possibly think of and wrap them all into one. There was everything. There was fear of getting up there and, you know, and doing something stupid. Yeah, so it was just incredible because I did have to race the men as well. So it was amazing to actually have beat the men. But the best thing was that my mum was there. And so it was just as much hers as it was mine from all those years before.
Oh, that's great. So, Carol, I've read about you that you live with the philosophy that you must dare to face your fears. And so taking that into consideration, what advice would you give to someone who's had to negotiate setbacks in life? Because as we know, you never know what life can throw at you.
Oh, you don't. Look, you know, people always say, "Oh, when one door closes, another opens." But I say, well, when one door closes, you actually have to look for that other door to open. I mean, there are so many different ways to get around problems that you have. And when I'm doing a lot of talking, my first question to everybody is, what would you attempt to do if you knew you couldn't fail? You know, we're all so scared of either, oh, I'm not going to be very good at that, or I'm going to look stupid. But who cares? If you're going to enjoy something, then just go with it. Go with gusto and do the best that you can do. And as long as you're happy and you're enjoying it, you know, that's why I say dare to face your fears, believe in yourself, and you can accomplish anything, you know.
That's great. Look, thanks, Carol. It's been an absolute joy having you on the show today. And we will actually get this interview uploaded to our Anecto website, as I'm sure many of you would like to hear Carol's story. And that's on www.anecto.org.au. You're listening to Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9. Up next is Jody with News Bits. The time is 16 minutes to 1.
Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9.
You're on Joy 94.9. This is Amy, and you're listening to Absolutely Everybody. The time is 11 minutes to 1, and it's the time of the week to welcome Jody and talk about the news bits and tips. G'day, Jody.
Hi, Amy. How are you going?
Good, thanks. And you?
Yeah, good, good. We've got some really interesting inclusion news this week on the show. But first, last week we had Dr. Tim Edwards Hart on to talk about experiences people have during the holiday period. Dr. Edwards Hart just wanted to remind everyone, and I think it's important, that they can also call Beyond Blue, on 1300 224 636. And also their web is beyondblue.org.au, and we'll also get those resources on our website ASAP. In other inclusion news, the Family and Community Development Committee are looking for expressions of interest for the parliamentary inquiry into social inclusion and Victorians with a disability. The committee has been asked by the Legislative Council to instigate through some sort of an inquiry. So the terms of reference for that cover things like the definition of social inclusion, the nature of inclusion, exclusion for people with disability, covering areas areas like the economy, social and civil aspects of society. So they'll ask questions like what needs to happen to increase social inclusion. So any individual or organisation can make a submission. I think, Amy, that could be really interesting.
Yeah, that sounds like it would be worthwhile getting involved in, because if we don't tell people what we need, then they won't know. So it's a great reason to get involved.
Absolutely. So for more information on that one, we'll put something on our website, anecdo.org.au/absolutelyeverybody. Also, stuff that there's so much happening in Melbourne at the moment, it's not funny, but Alzheimer's Australia and the National Gallery of Victoria is calling for expressions of interest for its art and memory tours commencing in mid-February 2014. The guided tours are especially targeted to people living with dementia and include permanent collections and special exhibitions. So a guided visit to a gallery provides social inclusion and intellectual stimulation, which in turn promotes well-being and increased quality of life. So that sounds like another good one.
Yeah, that sounds like a great project.
Yeah. For more information on that, visit Absolutely Everybody Facebook page. As mentioned earlier, I just thought I'd throw this one in at Midsummer. The Premier, Dennis Napthine, announced that the criminal records of men convicted over gay sex will be expunged. And I think, it seems a bit late, but that's good news anyway. And look, you know, we as Melburnians always love to talk about the weather, but it is really important to remember it's a heatwave alert. Please look after yourself and your family and community. If you have any concerns, we have a link on our Anecdo Facebook page for more information. So, yeah, just take it easy. It is a stinker out there. I also just wanted to mention quickly, we played a song by Christine Arnoux before, which is very timely because there's a reminder on Thursday, the 13th of February, it's National Apology Anniversary for the Indigenous Stolen Generations. And there's a concert on, and actually Christine Arnoux is going to be in that concert. We're going to do a show on that, and we'll have someone from the Healing Foundation coming in. So that's going to be really, really great. It's Archie Roach is playing. There's a whole lot of interesting people. So have a look at the Healing Foundation's website because they'll have more information on the concert.
Yeah, that sounds fabulous.
So thanks, Amy. That's about it from me.
No worries. Thanks, Jodie. And don't forget, everyone, to drop us a line with your stories and how you get involved in your community and what you do for pleasure out there. So drop us a line on Facebook page at Absolutely Everybody or SMS.
On air. It's 1300. I'm hopeless with that.
Sorry, I just got totally stuck then. Or call us on 1300 13 Joy 949 or email on air at joy.org.au. Finally got that mouthful out.
Well done, Amy.
Joy 94.9.
And you're listening to Absolutely Everybody on Joy 94.9. Welcome back. It's 6 minutes to one. Just a reminder that last week we had Dr. Tim Edwards Hart. He was on the show and gave us some fantastic tips on how to stay connected with our community and also how to build up a network or a circle of support around you. If you want more information on some of our guests, including today's guest Carol Cook, or information we have, please visit anecdo.org.au/absolutelyeverybody and also please join the conversation. Also, you can follow us on social media by following Absolutely Everybody. We'd love to hear from you. If you have any questions, please email us on air at joy.org.au or SMS us on 1300 JOY 949.
We received some feedback last week, which we apologise if we didn't read it out on air, but we'll endeavour to do that in the coming weeks. And so keep your questions coming and get involved in the show.
So thanks to Tam for the message of support and from Lee, who tuned in a bit late. We just wanted to let you know that we will be discussing, or he wanted to ask us actually if we would be discussing dyslexia and Asperger's. So thanks, Lee. We weren't particularly talking about those conditions specifically. It was more of a broader conversation last week. But we may well cover more on those subjects in the shows to come.
Yeah, absolutely, Julia. I think that it's important that we are aware that there's lots of different topics we're going to cover over the coming weeks with a real focus on inclusion. So lots of the topics are generic, but they apply to so many different people in the community. So, yeah, it's keep those SMSs coming in.
Great. And excuse me. God, we're
it's really... Can I just say, it is so hot in this studio, isn't it? think we're all hyperventilating. We need some water. But anyway, we're nearly there.
Yeah, I know. I think all three of us are having a bit of a sweat fest today.
Yes,
it's like,
losing getting very croaky in the voice.
Yes. Yeah. I must say quickly, I just want to add to what you said earlier about the heat. People make sure they put out some water for their pets.
Oh, yes.
And the birds as well.
And can I just say to my mum, yes, mum, I filled up the bird bath. She was very anxious that I filled up the bird bath.
So. Oh, I've got to say, I get a bit particular about the bird bath as well, well and truly. Alrighty, so next week on the show, we have the chair of the Victorian branch of the National Disability Services and Enecto CEO, Estelle Fife, who will talk more about the National Disability Insurance Scheme.
Yes, and I think that the NDIS is really, really topical still. There's, I think, a lot of people don't know what's happening there with the new government, etc. So it's going to be interesting to hear from Estelle about, you know, what's been said at some of the conferences around it from a sector point of view. We're hearing lots of mixed messages in the newspaper about it, and a lot of people still don't know a lot about it. We've heard lots about launch sites, etc., but really it is very unknown at this stage, Julia.
Like, even though we've had the Barwon trial, even with that, I think, you know, it will be a bit of an unknown for when it actually hits in 2016. I mean, what do you think, Amy?
Yeah, I think especially from a service user point of view, there's a lot of misinformation or non-information out there, and people are very anxious to know what's going on and how they access services, if they can access services, and what they need to do to access those services. So the more information we can get, the better, hopefully.
Yeah, and I also think that from, I know from Enecto's point of view, we've talked a lot about the fact that we need to focus on the positives of the NDIS and the fact that, you know, we need to stimulate employment within for people with disability, and that will really help the economy. So let's start focusing on what we can do to get people into the workforce. I think it's really important as well.
Yeah, it's a great perspective to have on it, I think.
Yeah.
Great. So if you missed out on one of our shows or you'd like to catch up on other shows, please check out the podcast via our Joy profile page, joy.org.au/absolutelyeverybody. Thanks for listening. And coming up next is Bring a Plate with Sammy.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.